special edition of Agenda Warning recorded right here at the World Comic Forum in Davos, Davos 2018, WEF18 is the hashtag. And, you know, it was in Phnom Penh for the World Comic Forum ASEAN where I met a very, very powerful lady. I tried my best. I sent emails. My producer tried, cajoled, phone, email also. But we couldn't get any of the 7 co-chairs. For the first time, all the co-chairs at the World Comic Forum are female and powerful female leaders. But God is great. So across from me now, the same powerful lady I met in Phnom Penh at the World Comic Forum, ASEAN, is right in front of me, Ibu Evelina Petrushka. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you.
You lead the insurance industry, not only in your own country, but in a grouping for the whole region of ASEAN.
Yes.
And I think you've been to the ASEAN discussions at the World Comic Forum too.
Yes.
So I want to take out that part before we go to the powerful ladies part, the 7 co-chairs and everything else. The last time we spoke in Phnom Penh, we spoke about using the wealth created in the insurance industry. And there's a lot of cash flow there. Mm-hmm. And our region need a whole load of infrastructure development.
Yes.
So months forward, and what other better place to discuss that than in Davos, can you give us the good stories of the progress where that initiative has taken hold, helping millions of people in our region?
Thank you, Kamaru. Thank you for giving me the time. It's such a privilege for me to be back here with you. In World Economic Forum, the issue of insurance industry providing long-term investment for infrastructure projects in ASEAN has been vastly discussed, and so many people are interested into this subject because they're helping the region, not only in ASEAN but also the world. And what really intrigues me was to be proud to be part of this because of their mission and vision to improve the state of the world. And that is where we are as an insurance industry in ASEAN, because the growth of the economy, the importance is to create connectivity, which is infrastructure. And that's not only hard infrastructure, but also soft infrastructure, social infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So we've been, World Economic Forum has helped us formed a group of discussions. There is the Indonesian chapter. Now they're going to the Vietnam chapter. Within Indonesian chapter, which is called Business Working Group, they have, as a group, as a committee, we have appointed 2 projects that is in the talk with the government on creating PPP, which is public-private partnership projects, where us as a company is also ready to invest. And we're working on this project so that it becomes viable, so that not only our company but also the rest of the other Indonesian company would be able to, with the local currency, to be able to invest. So if that model becomes successful, we hopefully can repeat the same model in a speedy way to quickly lessen the gap of infrastructure building in Indonesia.
How crucial is that kind of capacity building? Because usually, from the old world, before the fourth industrial revolution, people look at the international structure of IMF, World Bank, Asian Development Bank, and all this. But now, with the way that the world is right now and the wealth creation of now, we have these new tools, if I can put the term like that.
Yes.
But there's no such thing as the IMF of this. So this is at the stage where the World Economic Forum can discuss this, network a lot of parties together, and then actually see to the implementation of things right there on ground, country by country, region
exactly.
by region.
And the PPP model has been actually applied in many advanced countries like Australia, Canada. I think with this morning was discussed that Canada has implemented about 240 projects that is financed by the private sector in the model of PPP. So right now we're also discussing a model called blended finance, mm-hmm. where the bonds will be guaranteed by the development bank, and that involves perhaps institutions like ADB, IMF, or big multi development bank like such as that. So we're working together to create the model and have this institution give a guarantee if the government cannot give the guarantee. So
So it's time for the private sector to lead.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
How has that experience been for you?
It's in the process. We are raising awareness to our industry, insurance industry practitioners, companies. There are multi-billion dollar companies who just hold big assets in the region, and they're just waiting to deploy, and they are also eager to have a good return on investment because in the environment of low interest rate, they need to have a better return on investment. So we're in the talks. We hope that one or two projects that is successful can be deployed in other region. And I think Vietnam also is choosing projects at this moment on what to invest for us to invest as a region.
Okay, I have to go for the first break, but once we are back, it's a shame if I only put you here and to talk about only financing, development and infrastructure and insurance. I would also like to hear your views on women empowerment. So I want to talk about that side of the World Economic Forum 2018 right after this break. You are still watching a very specially recorded session of Agenda Wani, and I'm so glad to be here with the same powerful lady I interviewed in Phnom Penh for the first time now. It's my second time, very honored. I don't have the seven co-chairs, but I have one better, because the seven co-chairs didn't come. They don't come from Southeast Asia. If you're from Southeast Asia, you're a very, very respected, powerful lady, not only in Indonesia where you come from, but also in ASEAN especially. How do you look at women empowerment? You know, the Western media, oh my God, there's 1,300 media here, a lot of them are from the West. They went gaga when seven co-chairs, all female. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I cannot help but feel a bit alone there, because where we come from, even from our childhood, we're so used to looking at the emancipation of the female lead and the powerful ladies.
Yeah.
My grandmother from my father's side, she's barely 5 feet tall, but she practically dragged the family through famine, World War II, from an agrarian perspective, going from sun up to sundown, working the paddy fields.
Yeah.
But in Indonesia, we know that during the last Islamic empire called Aceh, the head of the army was called Cut Nyadin, and she's a powerful fighter herself, and the Dutch, even though they have the better technology, had to spend decades just to win the war.
Yeah.
So can you give us our ASEAN Indonesian perspective on women empowerment?
Well, I really appreciate and thank God that we have our predecessors, women predecessors, who really fight for their place and their rights in the society. And I'm also blessed that in this era, women are given the same opportunity in the society, in the business world, the same as men. Where I grow up, where I come from, I was always given the advice, the teaching from my father that even though I'm a woman, I have to be able to strive and learn and be the best that I can be and build my capacity to be able to compete, not because I'm a woman, but because of our capability. So even if it's in the men's world industry, that's mostly men, if we are capable as a woman, I'm sure the men will also respect us equally. So that's the way I always project myself. And having the chance here in Davos, in the World Economic Forum, and looking up at those seven leaders, women leaders, who was giving the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, to be up there and to co-chair, is given me as a woman also to the hope to be able to strive and be better in mm-hmm. my field. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Malaysia, it's not a strange thing. In Indonesia,
yeah.
it's not a strange thing.
Yes.
So how do you think the cultural perspective mm-hmm. of women empowerment should be looked at? Because it's so easy for the narrative to be lost to, oh, this is the Western yellow culture of women's lib, for
yeah.
example.
Yeah.
How do you think we should weave that in from our side of the world?
It's hard to say. I don't. Really, my personal view,
yes.
I don't look at women emancipation mm-hmm. or us as a woman who, because we are a woman, we ask for privilege or things like that. I don't think women should be like that. Mm-hmm. I think we should, as I say, we should be fighting because of our capability,
yes.
not because we wanted a privilege. And emancipation mm-hmm. being a woman.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Not asking for discounts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just be able to be the best you can be in your profession. And
okay.
and also in my organization, mm-hmm. we have about 6,000 agents, mm-hmm. sales people, and
yeah.
majority of women, and that's where we empower you know, women, because they're capable, because they're good at their job, and we give them the opportunity to do the best they can.
Yeah. Is there any, when you were making it, when you were starting your company, was there a role figure, a woman role model that you were aspiring to, or you self-built kind of empowerment?
Well, when my father always teach me to be the best that I can be, and even if I compete in the men's world, I should just be the best I can be. That's what gives me the drive to fight for my my role
yep.
in my profession. But I've looked at other women, mm-hmm. like Oprah Winfrey was
okay.
one of my
yes.
My idols mm-hmm. also. And Ibu Kartini,
yes.
Our Indonesian women emancipation in the past. So those are the two women. Then Margaret Thatcher is
correct.
Also my.
The world is getting more complex.
Lady.
There's a lot of hope. It's a lot of negative things
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And now that you might have to have succession planning in your own family,
mm-hmm.
what do you say to your daughter regarding all this?
I also said the same thing to my daughter. She's in the entertainment industry in Hollywood. So if that environment is also very competitive,
okay.
as you've
yes.
heard. And but you know, be the best you can be. Just strive to go up the ladder because you're capable. Not because you're asking for privilege.
Yes.
That's the advice I give to her.
Wise words from a very powerful mother. I will envy her. I have to go for the last break, but once we're back, you know, it's not giving discounts. So that's why I would like to see women empowerment, just like you said, not being given a discount, but just acknowledging the power that women can bring.
Yes.
So there's a lot of issues here still being debated. This mm-hmm. is the second day during this recording. What the Prime Minister of India said,
mm-hmm.
he talked about the old structure of global trade and finance is not even valid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And are they even representing Asia, Southeast Asia, for example?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get your wisdom on that right after this short break. Never enough time with great people, and I have to rush this segment a bit. So, seven co-chairs, But I have you, and you're the sole representative of ASEAN that I know, a lady bringing the torch here. And a lot of discourse seems to be whether the America First policy going to shape global politics, going to shape global economy and global trade. Mm. So how do you look at it from your perspective?
From my personal perspective, well, we are in the business, so we hardly talk about politics.
Correct.
But of course, politics is important. It does shape the future of the businesses. But as an ASEAN region, we are trying to build the ASEAN connectivity, which means liberalization. Mm. We are moving forward. I think all the heads of states are committed to move forward with the regional ASEAN economic community. So if other countries are going for the inward policy, I think they have a reason to do that. Mm-hmm. If they want to take a step back to improve their economy, they have the right to do so before they are able or strong enough to connect, to go, to open themselves to the liberalization. And that's the decision of their country, which I respect that, you know. So I don't think that it will give a bad effect to the other countries, because we have our own region and we are doing trading anyway, every day.
Yes.
So if a country chose to step back and improve their economy, So be it, you know.
So let's take an example.
Yeah.
We were looking forward towards the liberalization of many markets with Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
America withdrew. Then people were saying, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die and whatever. But Canada and Trudeau took the chance of his platform at World Economic Forum to say that, you know, a few hours ago, the countries have just agreed that we're going to have a comprehensive Trans-Pacific Partnership. So there is life without one country, for example. Mm-hmm. And you think that's the way to go? Just gather those who are like us, who share the same vision and want to trade openly with one another, move on. Because there's still power of numbers with Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Indonesia, and other countries.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, because the same like in our region, there are some countries, there's gap within countries, so we're helping the less developed countries to build their capacity so that they can be almost in the same level. I don't know if they can catch up, but I think some countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, they have bilateral or trilateral agreement to move forward. So, you know, there's no like one good policy. I think there's various depending on what other what each country needs to develop their economy.
Before I let you go, ASEAN is a term and a word and a name that has been bandied about for the longest time since the 60s.
Yeah.
But the world is changing. Mm-hmm. Some people are impatient, especially younger ones. And you have, you know, at least two that I know.
Yeah.
What more can be done to really make ASEAN matters in everyday life of our region? Mm-hmm. Because just like the Davos man critic before, now we have Davos ladies co-chairs.
Yeah.
So for ASEAN, people still see it as the old bureaucratic gentleman's club, you know, only government representative. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, how can we change that?
Well, we've start, I think discussion, communication is very important, building relationship. And I've always mentioned this to my colleagues in the insurance industry. You know, if we change our mindset to be an industry where we can help the economic development and talk to the government on how we can work together, I think there will be a different response to that. If all this time we're always asking, oh, the government should do this for us, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. And I think the government will appreciate that. And together we can build a strong ASEAN community.
the value of giving back.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a One Artha Life, One Artha Foundation, where every dividend, a percentage of our dividend, is given to the foundation and give back to the for education to the Indonesian people. That's what we
do. So you really treasure the value of giving back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can't live without it.
Can't live without it.
That's the message, and that's also why we as Ro Awani to help bring this kind of thought leadership back to you wherever you are watching this show. There has been Agenda Awani, and this is World Economic Forum Davos 2018. Good night and goodbye.